Blog Talk Radio.
And with that, we welcome you to the NFL pregame show, Test Run, alongside Stephanie Diaz, Dylan Goldman, and Eric Watkins. I'm Stephen Err. Today, we are going to cover two games in particular, as well as the different scenarios in the NFL in Week 17. First game we're going to hit, we're going to start off here, Dolphins and Patriots. I picked this game to cover to analyze because I find it ironic to be all of us here used to cover Miami sports. Dylan still does. You can listen to his show, One-on-One with Clint Starling, Saturdays at 8 on Real Talk Miami Radio. So the Dolphins, wow, what a season for the Miami Dolphins. It all started out with signing Ndamukong Suh to a $100 million deal. And after that, they have Cameron Wake. They had drafted rookie Devontae Parker and Jay Ajayi. And now the Dolphins are sitting at the bottom of the AFC East. What happened to the Miami Dolphins, guys?
The Miami Dolphins, is it really a surprise to ask what happened to the Miami Dolphins? I mean, I'm not surprised at all with how they played. I am surprised how the NFL as a whole has played, but the Dolphins is just another bad season. So,
you know, Stephanie's right. I mean, we've come to this point where we expect a season like this from the Dolphins, but I mean, they started the year, they had a lot of talent, but the offensive line fell apart. They started off 1-3. They fired their coach, Joe Philbin. So they're already midseason without a head coach. They have to go to interim coach Dan Campbell. So at first, you know, they had electrifying wins against the Titans and the Texans, and then all of a sudden they played the Patriots, who they played today, and then they fall apart. The pieces just didn't fit. I mean, you know, you had those two games where they all of a sudden they looked like a completely different team. But the offensive line fell apart. They suffered from injuries. I mean, you just could tell Ryan Tannehill just did not have time to throw. You know, like Stephanie said, I mean, we've come to this point where we expect a season like this from the Dolphins. But, I mean, they started with a lot of talent, and then things just fell right through. They fired their head coach, and we probably should have expected a season like this. But it really has been a very, very poor season for the Dolphins at this point.
And this just shows that while the Dolphins had what it at least amounted to a good offseason with the big-name signings like Ndamukong Suh, there were a lot more holes to fix on the offensive line, defensive secondary. Nothing could really stay consistently well. Tannehill couldn't consistently perform during games, couldn't get a consistent run game, and even when you win, you couldn't consistently put together two in a row. Thus, here you are sitting.
My question isn't what happened what went wrong with the coach. My question right now is, we've already fired the first head coach, Joe Philbin. Now we have a new one who honestly seems to have potential. I mean, we can't really say much now because he's trying to salvage whatever's left with the Dolphins that happened this season. But what are we going to do now with Tannehill? I mean, we're expecting this guy to play when we first contracted him, which was, I don't know how many years ago, okay? And he's still not up to par with what we're expecting. So how long are we going to keep expecting and just keep being disappointed? That's my question now.
That's right. She's right. Ryan Tannehill's taking a lot of heat from fans. I've seen so many things on Twitter. Ryan Trashahill. You know, it's crazy the things, the names that people come up with for Ryan Tannehill. Even Mecole Grimes last week called him garbage. So, guys, what happens with Ryan Tannehill? Is his time up in Miami?
I think it is. I have a friend, he says no, that it isn't, that he's still like the greatest player ever. And he gives me all these numbers, but all these numbers, I'm not seeing them when he plays in the games. If you ask me, the next person to go is going to be Tannehill.
My thing I'm looking at this particular draft class because that's obviously where the Dolphins are going to have to go. Tannehill's time is up. They're going to have to draft a quarterback. And outside of some big names like Jared Goff, out of Cal, will there be a quarterback right in the mix that the Dolphins can easily take? If the answer is yes, then Tannehill's done, no question about it. But if the right guy isn't there, then you might be stuck with Tannehill for at least another year until another good draft class comes along, so that way you can get his replacement and start building from there.
You know, Eric's definitely right. I mean, if they, you know, whatever pick they have, it depends on the game today. In my personal feeling, they, before they take a quarterback, they have to take an offensive lineman, because that's been the main problem this season. But I personally think it's coming to an end, but I don't think it's going to happen this season. I just don't think that the Dolphins are going to be able to get a quarterback in the second and third round that are good enough to replace Tannehill right away. I don't think they're going to get a Goff or a Paxton Lynch or a Connor Cook, who had a poor bowl performance just that we saw a couple of days ago. I mean, after that, you know, there's many quarterbacks that have the talent and they look very intriguing, but you really have to sit down and think, is it worth the pick where you could fill other needs? So I do not think it's coming to an end right away, but it does seem like it's going to happen sooner rather than later. However, I just don't see them getting a good enough quarterback in the draft to the point where who can replace Tannehill. They need to fill the other holes around the lineup first before they get the quarterback. So I would assume that Tannehill stays for a little while longer, but it does not seem very positive for the future.
So all of you seem to agree that Ryan Tannehill's time is done in Miami. If not this season, it will be next season. So if you say they need to look for a quarterback in the 2016 NFL draft, who do you see them taking as their next quarterback?
Well, I personally, I'm going to echo off of Dylan's opinion in saying, hypothetically, say they do take an offensive guard first, which is a big need. Well, you have that eliminates Jared Goff. He's going to be the first quarterback off of the board, and considering not only the substandard play of quarterbacks this season, but the sheer amount of injuries, a lot of teams are going to scoop him up. A name that not a lot of people have mentioned yet, but it's going to start popping up, especially since he's declared for the NFL draft, Christian Hackenberg out of Penn State. Yes, he did get injured in his last game, the Tax Slayer Bowl against Georgia. Yes, he has kind of dropped off his senior year, but there's still second, third round potential there. If you can get him in, if you can get him a good camp, you never know.
Yeah, you know, definitely Hackenberg is an intriguing option. A lot of people, you know, are criticizing him of his performance this year, but his offensive line really did not help him out there. You know, that's definitely an option that they can look to, you know, after that. Who knows where Connor Cook's going to be? He's a very good quarterback after his performance, but who knows where he'll be? There's, you know, a lot of quarterbacks. Who knows if Brandon Dowdy will be going to the draft? There's Carson Wentz out of North Dakota State. I mean, there's a lot of options down there. But Hackenberg probably would be the best option if he were to be available. But like Eric mentioned earlier, we're talking about a lot of teams that need a quarterback and that have a lot of needs for a quarterback. So we could see a lot of those quarterbacks snatched up a lot earlier than we would have expected, meaning that the Dolphins really cannot wait for a quarterback, but they're probably going to have to. So they will have to hope that Hackenberg at least is still there. He's probably the best option if you want to go a second, third-round quarterback. But the names like Goff and Lynch and maybe even Connor Cook, they will be gone by then. So they might have to go to Hackenberg if they look for a quarterback down in the second or third round.
Ryan Tannehill on the season has thrown 22 touchdowns, 12 picks. Hackenberg, on the other hand, has been sacked 38 times, which is second most in his career. He was sacked 44 times in 2014. So you guys said that Tannehill is going to stay next year in Miami, but the Dolphins will have to look for a quarterback because Brian Tannehill is not the answer. Obviously, we've all seen that this season. So we're going to switch over now to the Patriots. New England, they started off 10-0. They go to Denver. They lose to Brock Osweiler. Now, I've seen Brock Osweiler play before this game when he started Peyton Manning. And he was not a great quarterback. Now everyone loves this guy. Everyone's hoping the Broncos get the one seed, even though it's less than likely. New England lost two of the next three games, even a home loss to the Eagles, where they gave up 35 consecutive points. his first time since New England's done that since 1993. I wasn't even born in 1993. So that's a long time. But the win today in Miami, the Patriots can clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Tom Brady's lost a lot of players. Deion Lewis tore his ACL against the Redskins. Julian Edelman, he's out to the playoffs after he broke his foot against the Giants. Danny Amendola's battling knee injury. There's just so many injuries on this Patriots team. How does Brady do it?
To be honest, at this point, I mean, I've watched them play. They're not the best team, but, I mean, they're doing it. Somehow they're doing it. I guess maybe it's just luck. Maybe it's because all the other teams are kind of this 2015-2016 season is just low quality for all the teams, not just the Dolphins, not just for the Patriots. I don't know. I think it's just where nobody's playing at their best, so whatever New England's giving now is what they can consider the best for now, and that's how they're succeeding.
The way I see it in looking at the Patriots over the past several years, this year they really simplified and tailored their offense. You go back to that 07 team where they had the likes of Randy Moss. Yes, he was a veteran. Yes, he was a little bit older, but he was still a deep threat. And you saw Brady throw it farther down the field. This year, even with Amendola and Edelman, when they were healthy, it was a lot of screen passes, flares, and a lot of dink and dunk up the middle. So with them out, they further simplified it to, okay, we're going to run the ball heavily, we're going to get Gronk passes up the middle, 5-10 yard routes, and we're going to rely on Brandon LaFell on the outside. Has it worked? Not as much as they would like, but the fact that they simplified it so much that they can focus on the execution instead of the complexity, that's what's really helped get it done.
Yeah, and I have a more of a simple answer. It's Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Rob Gronkowski. I mean, those three, I mean, obviously Belichick's the coach, but Brady and Belichick have been a dominant duo ever since Brady took over the role of Drew Bledsoe. And, you know, ever since they've been dominant. And, you know, Rob Gronkowski, he's a dynamic tight end. You can go to him whenever. He's a very reliable tight end. And like Eric said, they definitely have simplified the offense. But, you know, when they have Brady and Gronkowski going to each other and they have the supporting players left with Scott Chandler, Brandon LaFell, and then they rely on the running game with a lot of different running backs, you know, Brady just has enough to get it done. He is such a talented quarterback. He really doesn't need that much weapons. And we all know he's known for turning nobodies into very good players. So it's simply, I mean, those two players and then the coach Bill Belichick, I mean, they make for one trio. I mean, that is definitely one great trio. And then they build a good enough supporting cast, even when they're injured like this, with a good enough defense to win games like this, and it's enough. And then once they're healthy again in the playoffs, I mean, watch out, because this team they're already very good. But, you know, when they get Edelman back and they get Amendola back up and ready, they will be dangerous like they always are. But it really is just down to that those two players, Brady and Gronkowski and the coach Bill Belichick, they just somehow get it done, and it's amazing to watch. But they just get it done. They're such good football minds. They play great situation football, so they are very, very good at that. I mean, sometimes they're lacking talent, but they're very good at situational football and getting it done with their game plan.
Tom Brady, even with all the injuries, 36 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So he's having another great season despite having many injured players. He's done this a lot over his career in the NFL. In the first meeting back in October, the Patriots won the game 36-7. Ryan Tannehill was just mauled that day by the Patriots D-line. They gave up a safety in their second straight game, which would be the second of 3 straight games that they would do this season. What must the Dolphins do today to pull off the upset against the Patriots?
Take someone out? I mean, honestly, I don't know.
I mean, have Ryan Tannehill throw the ball and have someone catch it for once? Or he makes his accuracy? I don't know. Or is it too late for a Christmas miracle or what?
Look, I mean, this Dolphins team, I think they probably, I don't know how much at this point they care about any more football. I mean, we've talked about I mean, there's not much the Dolphins really can do. I mean, I really don't know how much more the Patriots can be injured to where it would give the Dolphins a fighting chance. I mean, their offensive line is just beat up from everywhere. They lost to a Colts team last week. They were in the red zone, and they just couldn't get it done. That's a problem. They have to convert on red zone opportunities if they even get to the red zone. I mean, I don't know how they're going to stop Tom Brady. He seems to be just dominant no matter what the circumstances are. But if they can convert on red zone opportunities, convert on third downs, and I know this seems like it will never happen, but if they can get a running game going, then, you know, maybe there's going to be a fighting chance. But it just seems like this Dolphins team just can't do – they just can't get a running game going because of that offensive line. So if they can't get a running game going, then once again they're going to have to rely on Ryan Tannehill to throw 50 times, which is not a good thing. So they have to get a running game going if they want to have a fighting chance.
It's like Dylan said, New England is good at whatever situation gets thrown at them. They'll figure it out, whether it be that they have injured players, somehow they're going to figure it out. And with a team like the Dolphins, it's not going to be hard to figure out how they're going to get past the defensive line into the touchdown zone. And it's not going to be hard to figure out how to bring up a great defense, not even a great defense, just a defense to bring down the Dolphins. It's not going to surprise me at all if the Dolphins lose today.
And not just lose, because of another factor to mention, motivation. The Dolphins, especially after last week, they're done. They know they're done. They're just playing out the string. The Patriots are still in line for the number one seed. They've already got a home game. They've got the first round bye. They want the home field, and they want that extra time to get their players rested up. Personally, if it weren't for the injuries, this could be another day where the Patriots could score 50. Maybe if we hold them to 30, that would be a miracle enough for me.
And you're right about motivation. I mean, this season is completely, for me, unsalvageable, even whatever Dan Campbell does to bring up any motivation. I mean, he's a great speech talker, I'm not going to lie. I've heard how he talks. He's pretty motive. He's like your trainer when you're at the gym and you feel like you can't lose the 10 pounds, and he helps you lose the 10 pounds. That's what it feels like with him. But at this point, I'm not expecting anything. I mean, the motivation for the Dolphins is zip on fan side, for me at least.
Really quick, so we wrap up this game. Who wins? No, I really shouldn't ask. I know that. I know you guys are picking, but for the audience, who wins the game?
Patriots.
Pretty easily the Patriots.
Yeah. Okay, so that is your extra analysis on the Dolphins and Patriots game. That game is at 1:00 on CBS. We should throw it out to the American Game of the Week. Cardinals host the Seahawks. Now, this is crazy. Panthers started off 14-0, but they are now in danger of losing the one seed. If the Cardinals pick the Seahawks and the Panthers lose to the Bucks, the Cardinals will be the number one seed in the NFC. But as for the Seahawks, since 2012, Seattle was 3 points away from an NFC Championship game, and then they went to 2 Super Bowls following that. Is this Seattle team destined for another big run?
It would not surprise me whatsoever. And the reason why I say the last couple of Seahawks teams, you saw the Legion of Boom dominating their defense, Marshawn Lynch in the backfield, and Russell Wilson getting time to kind of build his own. Over this past 5-6 weeks, I've noticed not even an overhaul of the read option, but just a tweak. Because traditionally on read option plays, a lot of the times would either be handing off or Russell Wilson running out to his left. Now they say, okay, we know you can throw. You've got your threats, Tyler Lockett, Doug Baldwin, see what you can do. And he is just chucking it down the field, throwing it all over the place. Now that the defense is back and settling into where they were, wild card teams, even 6 seeds, have won Super Bowls before. Especially if they get a win today, who knows what will happen and how dangerous this team will be in the playoffs.
I mean, certainly I'm sure they're destined for another big run. I mean, they lost both of their running backs, Marshawn Lynch. He could come back in the playoffs. We don't know. Thomas Rawls is also up for the year. So they might have to start Bryce Brown. But Russell Wilson has been dynamic in the last 5 or 6 weeks, as Eric said. I mean, he's thrown, it's like 20-plus touchdown passes, which is a normal touchdown number for many quarterbacks in this league. I mean, that's just amazing. They had a letdown loss to the Rams last week, but I think they can overcome it. I mean, their defense is finally coming back into full form. They kind of struggled to start the year, that defense. But now with the passing game, you know, Russell Wilson is finding many, many options with Lockett and Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse and Luke Wilson, the new tight end, now that Jimmy Graham's out. So definitely they're destined for a big run. They might finish the season 9-7, but they still have the weapons. Maybe they can get Lynch back for the long run, but definitely they can be destined for another Super Bowl run.
I
just think anything can happen with that. That's what I'm going to say about it.
That's true. Anything can happen. So as I was saying, Cardinals won the first meeting in Seattle on a Sunday night. But since then, the last six games, Russell Wilson has thrown 22 touchdowns, one interception. How did the Cardinals stop him today?
It's going to be tough. I mean, the worst thing that would have happened to them this time of the year is Tyrann Mathieu's injury. Now he's out. So you can only put guys like Patrick Peterson on one guy. You don't really have a lot of help from your top safeties. So you have to decide who are you going to gamble on. Do you want to gamble and slow down Doug Baldwin? Or do you want to gamble and slow down Tyler Lockett? Either way, one of them is going to have the opportunities to beat you. So it's the main thing, if they can keep pressure, not let Wilson be able to throw the ball to either of them, then that gives the Cardinals the best chance to hit what would be an incredible 14th win.
Definitely. They have to lock down the top receivers. They don't have Tyrann Mathieu, but they still have Rashad Johnson coming back from injury. Deion Buchanan, he's been a safety. He's been all over the place. Maybe he'll play some safety today. But I think if they can blitz Wilson, if they can get him out of the pocket, make him throw away, then that would be a good thing definitely for the Cardinals. But, you know, the way Wilson's been playing these past few weeks, it's definitely going to be hard to stop him in full. I think they're going to be able to contain him and not stop him fully. But, you know, Seattle can't really rely on that running game. It's been really shaky and spotty ever since the injuries that they've suffered. So they're going to rely on the passing game a lot. So if they can blitz Wilson, get him out of the pocket, pressure him, and lock down those top weapons, then the Cardinals have a good chance of stepping up and stopping Wilson for today's game.
Yeah, the running game is pretty bad for the Seahawks right now. Marshawn Lynch is not going to play today, but he's expected to practice tomorrow in time for the playoffs, and their other running back, Thomas Rawls, broke his ankle in Baltimore. He's out for the season. Really quick, who wins?
I'm going to say the Cardinals. It's as Dylan said, the running game for the Seahawks is not the best, but the Cardinals seem to be doing really great with their blitz attacks. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
I'm also going to go with the Cardinals. This one is going to turn out to be another shootout. And the Cardinals, with their running game, they just have that extra weapon for when they need to control the ball and run out the clock. Cardinals take it today.
I agree. I'll take the Cardinals. They have the offense with David Johnson in the running game. Carson Palmer's been amazing all year. He has his weapons with Larry Fitzgerald and Floyd. They will definitely get it done at home today and get their 14th win.
I'm picking New England in the first game. I pick Arizona in the second game because nobody beats the Cardinals at home, especially after last week's game against the Green Bay Packers. They only allowed 8 points. Two final points for today's show, for today's pregame test run. The Jets need to win and they're in, or the Steelers need to win and the Jets lose. Which team gets the sixth seed in the AFC?
I'm going to say the Jets. I just don't think they're going to lay an egg like the Steelers did against the Ravens last week. The Steelers definitely will beat the Johnny Manziel's Browns. But I think the Jets are going to get it done against Buffalo. I know Buffalo beat New England, New York in New York. So definitely it's going to be a tough matchup in Buffalo. But I think New York will win that game and they'll make the playoffs.
To me, a lot of parallels with the 98 season, defensive-minded coach, winning at Buffalo late to clinch a playoff berth, hotshot receiver, veteran quarterback having a great season. Jets are going to take it today. I don't see Rex Ryan. This is his Super Bowl, but he's putting in too much hype. Jets are going to handle their business.
I'm going to go with the Jets, too. I've seen them. They've kind of been improving this season, too, on top of that. So I'm going to go with the Jets as well.
I'm going to go against you guys. I'm going to Pittsburgh because I love the passing game by Big Ben, and I love the passing game of Antonio Brown. One more thing, we're going to end the show here. The AFC West is still not decided. Now there's the NFC North. Chiefs win, Broncos lose, Chiefs win the West. Broncos win, they win the AFC West. Who wins the AFC West?
Broncos. I just don't see them losing to the Chargers at home. It just doesn't seem like the Chargers have enough to beat the Broncos. They lost in San Diego a couple weeks ago. Broncos take the division.
I'm going to go a little bit of surprise and take the Chiefs. The Broncos, San Diego is going to put up a great fight. They've got a lot of things going on right now, but they are very desperate to end their season on a high note. And I think the Chiefs are just way too hot right now. I think the Chiefs sneak in and take it.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. So
I also pick Kansas. I would like to see Kansas City win the West because they won 9 straight. First team in NFL history to win 9 straight after starting the season 1-5. Tonight's game is a big one. Packers and the Vikings. Winner takes the NFC North. Who do you guys have winning the division?
I'm going for Packers. But that's just because I personally think that the Packers can get through it. So, and if they've had an okay season this year, but so has all the other teams too. So,
I agree. I'm taking the Packers. I just think they've had their struggles at home this year, but they really do well against the Vikings. I think they're going to get the ground game established today. They'll take the division. They'll take the number 3 seed. I think the Packers take it. I just think it'll be too much for the Vikings at Lambeau Field. It just seems like the Packers have the Vikings number. So I'll take the Packers.
I'm actually going to say another surprise. Green Bay has some of that Lambeau mystique, but there's just something about this Minnesota team and the fact that Green Bay, especially with Eddie Lacy in the running game, has been just a little bit too vulnerable right now. I think the Vikings pull off what would be somewhat of an upset win tonight.
I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers. They did lose to the Lions this season at Lambeau for the first time in 1991, but they're still the Green Bay Packers. They don't lose at home, especially in scenarios where they want to win the division and they have a chance to do it on their home turf. So this has been the NFL pregame show with Stephen Earp, Stephanie Diaz, Dylan Goldman, Eric Watkins. If your game is on, there's actually 2 games on CBS and Fox today. Enjoy your games. We'll be back tonight for the NFL postgame show. Make sure you join us.